time to say good morning to Peter Allam. Peter, very good morning. Welcome on this Monday morning.
Yes, morning, Wayne. Morning, all listeners. Little Bergwind blowing out there. Today it appears, but anyway, the weather's been good the weekend. We can't complain.
Definitely.
Our chat this morning is going to be on firearms, weapons. Can you legally carry them? What are the requirements and that type of thing? You know, the right to self-defense is the first law of nature. That goes way back and is a statement stated by, I'm not sure who the person was, but, you know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, that goes way back to whenever. And unfortunately, firearms appear to fit into that sort of scenario as well. So, you know, you've got to be responsible. You've got to make sure that your firearms are kept safely. You have a right to defend yourself in South African law, but you need to make sure that you're not going to overstep the limits that are set in that regard when defending yourself or defending your family from criminals. It's not as easy as, oh, here come the burglars at night. I can see them in my yard. They should not be there, and you shoot at them.
Yeah.
That's not allowed. You know, when are the weapons allowed to be carried? What permissions do we need? How and when are we able to use them? Those are all the little factors that you need to take into account. And then let's just deal first of all with regard to weapons with licenses. Do you need a license to defend yourself? So we deal first with firearms. Yes, you need a license to carry a firearm. You know, there are background checks on you. You've got to get it properly issued. You've got to do competency training and proof that you actually need one. So it's a very serious offense if you have a firearm and you don't have a license for it. And you could find yourself in huge trouble if that actually happens. So just whilst we're on there as well, you know, a lot of people, there's so many people that I know that say, oh, my father died, I got his gun in my safe. Not allowed, guys and girls. Unfortunately, you know, if there's been a death in your family and there's firearms involved, make sure that whoever the executor is sorts it. You can hand them in at these various gun places where you get your competency training. Target Line comes to Light in East London. They're very good. They'll look after it for you whilst you're busy sorting it out. Of course, you've got to make a decision. Are you going to keep it if you inherit it? Or are you going to get rid of it? And they will assist you in all of that as well. So it's very worthwhile going. But a firearm, you need a license. It's like your driver's license. It's a little card. And it's got to be valid and up to date. And it's got to have the gun number, registration number, make, and everything on it. So, you know, if you've got a firearm, make sure that that it's properly licensed. So, yes, for a firearm, you need a license. People ask, a taser and a stun gun, those are legal to carry. There's no problem with that because they're there for self-defense purposes. But you don't need a license. They're not classified as a weapon under the Firearms Control Act. So there's no license required for a taser or stun gun. Let's hope everybody doesn't go out and buy that now and using it silly-willy, but it's there. Pepper sprays, you don't need a license for a pepper spray. You know, that's the most common self-defense tool by most women in their handbags. They're affordable, they're legal, and once again, no license is required. If you go to the more dangerous ones, but they are there, knives, swords, metal, you know, sticks and things like that, bladed weapons. You know, the batons, you get hunting bows, you get self-defense tools. No license is required, therefore. But it's a very sensitive thing, and you've got to be careful how you use it. Overstep the limit, and you can be charged, seriously charged with assault, with culpable homicide in some instances, with murder in other instances. You know, don't go mad with a baton. Don't go mad with an iron rod. Don't go mad with a knife. It's going to get you into huge trouble. So, you know, if we have a look there as well, as mentioned, firearms in South Africa, you know, they are very, very, very strict in that regard. You become responsible. You need a license. You need to be cautious. You need to do background checks. And the most important question that I say to everybody, ask yourself, do I need a firearm? You know, we are one of those countries that's aiming towards a no firearm country. But be careful in that regard. You know, if you use it silly, you're going to get into trouble. You know, a dangerous weapon, the Dangerous Weapons Act comes into effect with immediate, you know, it's immediate. The minute you've got a firearm, the minute you've got a bladed weapon or something like that, you know, the Dangerous Weapons Act comes in and it has criminal responsibilities. I think the minimal sentence there is about 3 years or something like that. And that's on condition that you're not charged with murder, culpable homicide, or one of those serious ones. You know, causing serious bodily harm and things like that. And more particular, where it's used for an unlawful purpose. You know, if you just go out and hit into a crowd or something like that, or somebody's in your way and you strike at them or that type of thing, or, you know, you've got a stranger that's walking to your yard, you don't have a right just to go out and beat the person up. So be careful. You know, the lawful possession of firearms is very important. You know, the other important part there is that you must be careful. And even as a guard, and I mean, you know, the law that's coming out in South Africa where they're trying to remove weapons from guards.
From security, yes.
From security people. I mean, and you know, the reason behind it, we all say, how can you have a guard without a weapon? But, you know, they've obviously taken into account the abuse that there's been by guards with weapons. And that is the reason why they're considering something like that. In other words, there are a lot more cases of unlawful use than what there are of lawful use and protection, which is very sad because, you know, God would need that. There's a reason for it. And then, of course, you know, we move on to when can you use your firearm? You know, that's the laws there that you can only use it in self-defense. You can't go out there. I mean, okay. Hunting, you can go out and shoot on a legal hunt, but there are restrictions in that there as well. But, you know, if there's somebody attacking you, imagine then being arrested for exceeding the limits of self-defense. It could be a major problem, you know. So, you know, a person acts lawfully when he uses the force to repel an unlawful attack. Which has commenced, remember, it must have started, or it's imminently threatening upon her or somebody else's life, bodily integrity, property, or other interests, you know, which you are entitled to protect. So the act is very strict there, and it can only be threatened against the attacker and be reasonably proportionate to the attack that's taking place. So, you know, we always say when we're students, somebody's charging at me with a knife, why can't I shoot them? You know, if they stab me, I could die immediately. You know, it's still, you got to do a warning shot. You can't just shoot. And then you got to be able to explain how you've used it in self-defense. You know, in self-defense, there must be three essentials there. The first one is that it must be necessary. You must show that there was no other means of doing it. You couldn't lock the front door or the security gate to prevent the person from coming into the house. You know, you couldn't run away. It's a crazy thing, but they expect you to run away. So the law says that you've got to have a look at all the alternatives. If there are no alternatives, then it's necessary. And it's got to be, like I've already mentioned, proportionate to the threat. In other words, you can't use more threat. So if somebody's standing out there with a baton and wanting to hit you or strike you, you can't then just shoot the person because you say, you know, this person's going to hurt me because you don't even know if he's going to strike and hit you. So the proportionate threat needs to be seriously looked at and taken into account. And then, of course, the next thing that happens, and we had that matter of ours with the gentleman from the university in Mthatha who shot at the crowd, and all sorts of stories have come out of that one on the news at the moment about toy guns and and all that type of thing, and the gun found in Port Elizabeth, is that you can only direct a shot at an assailant. You can't just walk out and pull
and
the trigger.
Randomly fire into a crowd, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, let's think about it. You know, all of these things, you also often get a person coming along and it's, you know, it's there that it's a policeman or something like that in ordinary clothes, civil clothes and that sort of thing. So be careful, you know, don't just shoot. We mentioned last time the Cape Town case where the security guards fired. And yes, they have been allowed on appeal now. It was found that there were circumstances, you know, that allowed for them to carry, that allowed for them to utilize a firearm at the time. You know, also your hunters all require licenses. They can't just keep their licenses anywhere and everywhere. You know, you've got to make sure that, you know, the rangers, you must have a weapon on him. You know, you need to make sure that the people that he takes out on a hunt know what they mean as well. You can't just come Joseph, who's never touched a firearm before, and take him on a hunting expedition. It's very important, you know, that is sorted. When you come along, then I suppose the next part that we can ask is, what is the situation with licenses? Who can apply for a firearm license? So if you want to apply for a license, you've obviously got to undergo the training at an accredited institution and obtain a training proficiency certificate. That's the very first thing. Once you've obtained that, you can apply for a firearm at your nearest police station, and they have a department there that specializes in that. And like I already mentioned, you need a license for every firearm that you own. And your firearm must be specifically mentioned on that license. So a list of accredited institutions, if you want to find them, and they'll say, I know Target Line in East London, not advertising for them, but I know that with their states and that, people like to take their firearms there, get it sorted. They can get rid of them for you. They can put you into the test, the training, if you want to take over the firearm and that type of thing. But the police will insist that you do that, and they will keep your certificate. And then, you know, you must also see on your card, it will have an expiry date, like a driver's license. So you don't get a firearm license for life. And at least, I think it's, I'm not 100% certain, but I think it's still 3 months before that you need to go and do that competency test again. You need to apply for a new firearm license at the South African Police Services and, you know, sort that out. But be careful as well, because, you know, in the time that you've got that, if you've got previous convictions, assault, drunken driving, that type of thing. These days, with most criminal offences, the minute you've been convicted, they will test to see whether you are worthy of possessing a firearm. And they will note that. As an attorney, we've got to address that with every single person that's found guilty, to say, you know, what is the position with firearms and things like that. So especially with assault and drunken driving cases, you could be banned from owning a firearm for a while. You need to be a fit and proper person to possess a firearm. And so often we find that, you know, people don't even take that into account. You know, you're caught for drunken driving and the last thing you think about is the fact that you may lose your license. You know, you haven't acted in self-defense. You haven't taken your firearm. But if you think about it, drunken driving means you're irresponsible. The law is such that you may not drink and drive, but you overstep the mark. And for that reason, the courts regard it as being very serious. And you know, take it away from you. We go back to that case with the guards in Cape Town, where, you know, it's an appeal against the law enforcement officer's conviction and two counts of murder. And he was already convicted, but they've allowed him now because he said it was self-defense. And they looked at the honesty of him. They looked at the assailant, did he target the assailant only, that was a danger, and was it reasonably possibly true that what he did was correct? So all those factors will come into it. So firearms are a serious, serious aspect of our law. You know, your license to possess must be valid. And, you know, you can't just go and do what you want to do. Mm. You need to be very, very cautious if you're carrying a firearm. So that's basically on firearms and weapons. And when I say weapons, you know, knives, swords, and batons, hunting bows, martial arts. You know, you get those, what are they, ching chong chain batons, whatever they are.
Yeah, the things that are used in martial arts. Now, Peter, just on a clarity, and you did basically cover it, but just by way of an example, you mentioned, and just to clarify, that person X has a gun license for, and that license is for a particular firearm. So I can't say, well, don't worry, I've got a license, but I can borrow my mate's firearm. That's obviously not allowed in terms of of the firearm. So I've got to have a license for a specific.
You've got to have a license.
And it's for that specific firearm.
Specifically for that. On your license, I don't possess a firearm, so I can't even pull out a license. But I know of all of them that I've done in all the criminal matters that I've had. You'll have the name. You'll have a photograph of the person. You'll have his ID number on there. And it'll say weapon, and it'll tell you what it is, the specific make that it is.
Okay.
So it's all contained on that little card, gives you the expiry date. If you've got two or three weapons, like a driver's license on the back, it'll have your car license plus a caravan, your motorbike license, your three-wheeler license, whatever. So they'll all be listed on there. So don't just think, I've got a license, here's my card.
Yeah, yeah.
Be careful. Have a proper look at it and see what weapon is on there. You know, so often as well, people go and they change their weapon and then they don't go down to change it at the South African Police Services.
On their actual license. You know,
the competency places can only take you through the situation to train you, but they can't take you to the police station. And as well, something that can't happen, like a driver's license. You know, you can't go do your course with the learner's driver's license and then send the learner instructor down to get your license for you. You must go personally. Mm. Firearms are the exact same. You cannot, you know, expect the gun place to go and get your license for you and sort it out for you.
You've got to do it.
And I must say, I'm really proud of our South African Police Services, because there's no jobs for pals there that will give you a license at a special or anything like that. They know that they are responsible for firearms issues. And if there's any mistake, it comes straight back onto that police officer. It would be very, very silly to take a chance with anything.
Indeed, indeed. And also, I suppose, from Joe Public, a member of the public, if you're planning on getting a firearm, you've got to think it through very, very carefully first.
Yeah.
In
this day and age, I mean, you know, a lot of countries all over the world don't allow firearms, though. You know, they anti-firearms, which is quite correct. They are dangerous. There's no doubt about it. And then, you know, just one other thing is, as well, like I mentioned earlier, if you've got a firearm that's come into your possession, maybe from an estate where somebody's died and they've got firearms and that type of thing, make sure that you make a decision. Are you going to keep them? Are you going to license yourself for them? Mm-hmm. Do you need them? Are you wanting to hand them in? Those are all questions you can ask yourself. If you want to hand them in, you can take them to the nearest police station, or you can go through an attorney and he'll make sure that it's done correctly. You know, they might question you on when did so-and-so die, where's the firearm been, and things like that. I mean, but the police are not unreasonable.
It's
that they're likely to charge you. If you come in there and say, oh, you know, my dad died a year ago. I've had the firearm in my safe. I never opened my safe. I've only found it now. But yes, if something happens and they break into your house and they steal that firearm and they track it back to where you are, you're in huge trouble.
Yeah.
So you know, do the noble thing and sort it out properly and legally up front.
And get it, because it potentially can cause havoc later when it comes to legal issues.
Absolutely.
And Peter, absolutely. If somebody is maybe in a situation they're needing assistance regarding firearms, maybe disposing of or getting it licensed, or as you mentioned, an inheritance, how do they get in contact with you?
Yes, they can find us at Adams, 6 Sansom Road in Berea, 0437211018. It's a little side street where Pep Stores is in Denver Avenue. Alternatively, they can like us on Facebook. Just add a S to our surname, A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for Sugar. Like us there and you'll find all our details there. They can also find us on our very own Wild Coast FM station. You've got our full details there and the chats are up and recorded and online every week after the chat. So that's the easiest way to find us.
Great. Well, Peter, thank you very much and have a good week. And we'll chat again next week, Monday.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks a lot, Peter.